Okay, I want to share with you tonight a thought by Rabbi Riskin. It's definitely a question that we've addressed in the past. I don't remember who else we've shared answers for, but it's a pretty obvious question when you start this week's parsha. So, Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. God speaks to Moshe and says to him, I am God. Va'era el Avraham, el Yitzhak, ve'el Yaakov, bekel Shakai, Yushmi Hashem, lo nodati lehem. So he says, I appeared to Avram, to Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the name Kel Shakai, and my name, God, right, Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, lo nodati lehem. I did not become known to them. So anyway, like, that's a very, very, what does that mean? Va'era, that he appeared to God to them, but Kel Shakai. Okay, so Rashi's going to answer that, but to say Shmi Hashem, that the name of Hashem didn't come up. What do you mean? I think that Rabbi Sachs quotes this like 156 times in Sefer Bereishis that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are spoken to by Yud Kei Vav Kei. So to say that God never appeared to them in Yud Kei Vav Kei, it just doesn't seem to make sense. And then Pazak Dalit, Vakam Kemoti Briti Tam Latet Lamed Eretz Kanan, Eight Eretz Megureyam Asher Garuba. And I made a covenant with them to give them Eretz Kanan, the land that they settled in, as a inheritance. Okay, fine. So that sort of also could lead us to another question, is like, okay, there's this covenant, but what does this covenant have to do with anything? Right now, that's like not where they're up to. Right now, where they're up to is that they're in Shiva Mitzrayim, and it doesn't look like they're coming out anytime soon. So why is it that this is what God wants to say to Moshe at this point in time? So just context is that at the end of last week's parsha, Moshe comes to God and says, like, why did you waste my time? Why did you give me this job? Why did I have to go out and try to get the Jewish people out of Egypt? When what happens in the end? I try, and not only didn't I make it better, but I made it much worse. Now all the Jewish people are truly suffering. And now all the Jewish people are working harder, and it's terrible. So Moshe Rabbeinu wants to quit and says, the Jews don't believe in me. This is like a big mistake. And God comes to Moshe and says, really? You know, I appeared to you in a way that the Avos never saw, and yet it's you that's questioning me, not them. And even that's like tough, because Avram certainly questions God, right? We know that. What is he? God says to him, you know, you're going to inherit the land. And Avram's question is like, how? How's that going to happen? Is Eliezer going to take over? I don't have like any potential at this point in time. There's no children. There's no inheritance, right? So these are all it seems like what God is saying is very nice, but it doesn't seem to work well with the psukim that we're familiar with from Sefer Bereishis. All right, any questions besides that?
No. Okay. Tight.
Apologize. So let's take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, "Va'era lavo pekel shakai, hivtachtim haftachot ukulam amarti lavo ani kel shakai." So he says, I made many promises to them, and all of them were done with the name Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. So I actually put in English because I'm not really sure that I fully understood this Rashi all these years. And all week long, it was like gnawing at me what Rashi really means. So I did like a little bit of research to try to understand this a little bit better. I won't pretend that I can tell you what the difference is between Hodati and Nodati. There's like seven binyanim, and there are definitely two different ones. It's funny, we were at parent-teacher conferences for, I don't know, one of our kids, and the teacher was like, you know, it's very important that your kid learns Hebrew. So we're like, yup, we definitely know that. And they're like, you know, at whatever grade they're up to, we know your child is very much behind what the typical Israeli child is like. And I'm like, yup, we know that. And the teacher then goes, you know, there's seven binyanim. And by this point in his life, it's really important that they've, you know, mastered, I don't know, a lot of them. And so I was like, shoot, like, I'm a lot older than them. And I'm still like, I don't even know half the binyanim. So thankfully, the other Ulpan teacher was sitting across the table and turns to her and says, no, there's two of them that they'll never need to know. It's a waste of time. And I was like, it's like, I feel much better about myself at this point in time. But anyway, yeah, so that this Rashi is like a textbook PL, Hifil, all the different ones that were like, I don't know what that means. But he says, lo hodati means I wasn't informed. Ein ktiv kan. I mean, it doesn't say that God didn't inform them of Shem Hashem. Ela lo nodati. Rather, God did not become known as Hashem. Which is to say that, yeah, they knew of God as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but in either a deeper sense or in a more worldly sense, the whole world knowing, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei did not make its full appearance. It's going to get there in Moshe's time. Lo nikarti lem b'mida amitit, sheli shale nikra shmi Hashem, ne'man lema emei dvarai, shar yiftachti v'lo kiyamti. So Rashi says something amazing. Rashi says that what happened was, even though God came to them with the words, with the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the essence of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, truth, that God is the absolute truth in the world, God did not come to them. How? Why? Because Hare Hiftachti V'lo Kiyamti. Rashi says something amazing. He says that God promised and did not make it happen. So perhaps that's the juxtaposition of Gimel and Dalet together. Yeah. La'er Elavrim L'Yitzhak L'Yakob Kel Shakai. Why is it that I did not become known through the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei? Because I made a promise with them to give them the land. But what is the implicit understanding of Pasuk Dalet according to Rashi? I made the promise, but I didn't deliver. And that would actually, if you take a look at Pasuk Hey, after the rest of the Mefarshim, I think it actually would explain a little bit of why Pasuk Hey is V'gam Ani Shamati and Nakapene Yisrael Asher Mitzrayim Avidim Otam V'Skor Priti. And also I heard the cries of the Jewish people and I remembered their covenant. Because very easily someone could turn and say, look at this God. What does he do? He keeps his promise about what? The suffering. But the redemption God does not keep his promise for. So the Vigam, the second time, is Vigam Hakimoti Abriti, just like I made this promise with them, Vigam Ani Shamati. I also heard their cries. God says, I've decided that the time has come for the complete package to come true, and my Havtacha that I was not Mekayim will come through in one shot. That is what Rashi says. So now Rashi then in Pasuk Dalet offers something that we might not remember. I certainly can't tell you off the top of my head, even though I've seen this Rashi several times in the last couple days, I can't tell you where it says Kel Shakai by Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And yet, what happens? So Rashi says, yeah, where is this? Where do we see Kel Shakai? So he says, Kishanir Eti Lehem b'Kel Shakai, he tzavdi v'madi briti b'ni b'nehem. When I made my covenant with them, it was through Kel Shakai. By Avram, by Mila, it says, Ani Kel Shakai, v'natati l'cha zaracha acharecha et eretz megurecha. I'm Kel Shakai, and what? I'm giving you the land. I promise to you that you'll get, and your children, that you'll get the land of your inheritance, which is amazing because at the point of the Mila, Avram only had Yishmael, l'Yitzchak. So there, I assume it's Hakel. I didn't look up the pasuk. It seems like Shakai is missing there. It's referring to the Shvua. Hashvua shenishbati laAvraham is the one by Mila, which is one that was Bekel Shakai. So it's not even by Yitzhak that it's clearly Kel Shakai, but it's just a continuation of the previous Shvua. And Liyakov ani Kel Shakai, pray urevei v'gomer et ha'aretz v'gomer. God says, I'm Kel Shakai, become many in the land you'll get. Harishna darti lehem lo kiyamti. And all of these are things that did not come, right? Your children are not a nation just yet, maybe now they are, and certainly not in the times of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and the land was not yours. Okay, so what does Shakai mean? Right, when we think of the name Shakai of Hashem, what does that even mean? Anybody want to take a stab at that? It's one of those names that we know we're not allowed to say, right? So we can't say Shin Dalet Yod because it's Hashem's name. So we're trained from a young age to say Shakai. But what does it mean? So the Ibn Ezra offers an answer, but starts off with an introduction that should make us feel much better. Milat Shakai Kasheb Perush. The fact that just a moment ago, nobody had any explanation for what Shakai means. It's fine, because the Ibn Ezra says it's a hard word to translate. V'ha-ga'on amar k'ashin nosaf k'ashin shata medaber imi. So the Gaon, I'm not sure who that is, definitely not the Vilna Gaon, since he lived hundreds of years after the Ibn Ezra, but perhaps it's a Sadia Gaon, or one of the Gaonim from right before the Ibn Ezra. So he says that the Shin is no Saf. It's extra. Meaning really, the name would be the Dalet and the Yod. And the Shin is like just a prefix, just like we would have on many words. The Atam Shamar Liolam Dai. And why is Dalet Yod the name of Hashem? Because it's Sha'amar that he said to the world, die, enough. It takes, by the way, a lot of getting used to in Israel when you see kids screaming at you, die, and you're like, oh, gee, right? And then they're like, my kids think it's funny. They're like, you know, that's one of the Hebrew words that they learn. So they know that it's like, it rubs Americans the wrong way. So like, that's one of the words that they love using. With an Israeli accent, of course. V'lo eidat tam l'peirush zeh, ki eich yikras shem asher dai. So the Ibn Ezra says, I don't know how, where does this come from? How could you have a name that seems to place limitations on God? God is limitless. So why would there be a name that has within it the idea of limits? Rak li'oto ta'ar k'moto v'salach alibi davai. So he says it's really the whole word, Shin Dalet Yod, is really more an explanation. V'hanagida Rav Shmuel, Piresh B'lashon Aravi, Alakar. I don't know what that means. V'pirusho, oh, here he says, I think he's explaining what that means. Minatzeya v'takif, that Shakai comes from the word strong and victorious. And so Kel Shakai means the victorious, the strong God. Okay. So how does that happen, right? Where does that come from? I don't know. But the Ibn Ezra does not like using the word dai, that God is of limits. And then we have the Sfarno. So the Sfarno says, Ome amar uvishmi Hashem lo nodati lahem, botaham ra'av lo shaniti ba'adam shum teva mitive habilti nifsadim. So the Sfarno says, what God did for the Avos is God never did anything that is truly altering the ways of nature. Right? God never did that. And therefore, it's a big deal. The fact that the Avos believed in God when he didn't do anything like that is amazing. And I've taken them as my nation, and therefore the time has come for the redemption. So what the Sfarno is actually saying is that somehow Kel Shakai means that God has not changed nature. God is God, but he hasn't like completely changed the nature of the world. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I thought about this a bit. You know, is it that there is no miracles that are truly like changing the ways of nature? So obviously the birth of Yitzhak would be the most obvious problem with that. I couldn't really think of any other ones besides that, right? Is there anything else? Right, so that it's also a good question, meaning like that is, like, we have to separate like Medrash from Pshat, but that is Pshat. It says that he went with 318 men, and they beat like this massive army of four kings, presumably like the four kings were a lot if they beat the five kings. Yeah, so that's another one. Any other like massive miracles that we see by them? Yeah, so I mean, that's like a global pandemic. Like, I think like 3 years ago, we would have been like, oh, wow, like that's a big deal. Now it's like, I don't know, it just seems to happen every day and not stop. Yeah, again, I think that it's... Right, so I think what all of them have in common is that they're definitely miraculous, but do they change, like flip nature on their head? Meaning in the history of the world, have there been plagues? Yes. Have there been plagues that are localized to a certain group of people or people that live in one place? Yeah. Someone could rationalize, listen, I don't know, you know, the cook in Paro's court had done a pretty bad job and food poisoned everyone and they got a magefa. Fine. You know, the war, I'm sure that in the history of like mankind, there have been wars where a very small group of people have defeated a much larger group of people. And if you want, you can sit there and justify it and say the reason for it is that these people were much more like they found the chink in the armor and they beat it. The sheep, every once in a while... Say that I missed the one word that you said that like
exaggerations.
Right. Okay. Fine. So you're right. You're working within a natural context, meaning woman is able to give birth. Yes, she's 90 years old, but back then people lived to be like I don't know double the length of the age of people living nowadays. And so as such, like having it's like the equivalent nowadays of a woman having a child at 50 something years old. It's a big deal, but it can happen. So again. Is that that's the only way I could understand it. But you don't have, like, by the Makos, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're talking about things that flip nature on their head, right? Bara, the fact that fire and water can coexist, is something that's impassable. It goes against the laws of nature. So perhaps that's what the Sfarno is saying. And the greatness of the Avos is that they were able to accept the fact that God was doing all, you know, that God was not making miracles on the grandest of levels, and yet they still believed in God. And what's basically being told to Moshe and the Jewish people is, you know, you guys are about to see everything get flipped on its head, and yet you're asking questions. So... Yeah, so there's, I think Rabbi Angel has an article about it where he wants to suggest that Sodom and Amorah might have been a massive earthquake followed by a volcano. And that would actually, again, I don't think the point is to try to say that like it didn't happen or that it wasn't a miracle or whatever. I think it's... Right. Yeah. Again, I think a lot of people try to do that. But by Sodom and Amorah, again, like what do we really know? All we know is like from Nitzavim Kemah Peichat Sodom VeAmorah, I think we have like a slightly harder time. But from Machon Kol, from Bereishis, like what is it really? It's just these cities are like rained upon with fire and they're just completely destroyed. Like, I don't know. I'm not a student of like history to know like what happened in Pompeii, but she became a Nitziv Melach?
No, that was just
came
after, but yeah.
I mean, I happen to think there's a great pshat that Vatehi Nitziv Melach is that she turned around Vatehi and the cities were Nitziv Melach. Again, where she goes and how she disappears. Again, I don't think it's a Hasidic pshat. I mean, certainly not quoted by it's one of the Rishonim. So certainly precedes the Hasidic pshat. But I think it's a possibility, and it certainly makes it a little bit easier to understand. Although then the whole story in the cave becomes wildly difficult to understand. Meaning, it sounds almost like mam.
Less appropriate.
Yeah, mam would have to.
Even less appropriate.
Yeah, I don't know. Mam was really out of the picture. Okay, fine. So yeah, so that's as far no. What does shakai mean, and what's going on in these psukim? So Rabbi Riskin wants to suggest that there's three levels of how God could interact with the world. And the first level is Kel Shakai. What does that mean? It's the way that God was viewed by the Avos. He's the one who is the creator of everything. And similar to what the Gaon says that the Ibn Ezra does not agree with, he's the creator of everything. And what does he do? He places limits on everything. So, and that's Kel. He's God, the one that created the world. And Shakai from Shamar Dai, that he says enough, this is what the world could be. The sun can only do this, the moon only that, the land only this. God has created limits, and there's nothing at all that can be done to change that other than God himself. And that's the idea of how the Avos knew God. So then what happens afterwards? So take a look at Gimel Yud, down towards the bottom. So this is last week's parasha. This is Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh. God says, listen, I'm giving you a job. You're to go to Paro, and I'm going to send you to Paro, and you're supposed to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Who am I to go? El Paro, and I'm to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Someone try to remember that next week, I believe the Chabura is going to be on the word Eileich and Neileich and all of that. So someone try to remember to remind me that this word actually, you know, is an interesting one in the context of the topic. Fine. Vayomer ki ayeimach, God says, now interestingly, right, we don't see Vayomer Hashem, but and there's no response from Moshe. It means that Moshe didn't accept what God has to say. So God comes again and says, ki ayeimach, I'm going to be with you. Vizelecha ot kenochi shlachticha v'otziach adam mitzayim tavun elukim al hahar hazeh. He says, I'm going to be with you, and this is the proof that I've sent you. When you take the Jews out of Egypt, you're going to worship God on this very mountain. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Moshe Elokim, hinei anochi bal bnei Yisrael, v'amarti lahem elokei avoteichem, shlachani aleichem, v'amru li mashmo ma'omar lahem. So God, Moshe says to God, okay, listen, God, when I come to the Jewish people and I say that their God of their forefathers has sent me, and they ask me, mashmo, what is his name? Ma'omar lahem, what should I say to them? Vayomer Elokim el Moshe, yasher, yeah. So God says to Moshe, tell them, eheye asher eheye. Right, whatever that means. Vayomer ko tomar l'bnei Yisrael, eheye shalachani aleichem. And then God says again, actually say to the people, eheye shalachani aleichem. I added in the word actually. Okay. So what's going on here? Mashmo, ma'omar aleichem, when they ask who you are, what name, what am I supposed to say to them? So God says, say eheye asher eheye. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's question? I think Moshe Rabbeinu's question is a question that we've been struggling with the entire shiur. What is God's name? Is God that they know through the Avos Kel Shakai? It's the God that we would use, I guess, the terminology, right? The clockmaker's God. He built the clock, set it into motion, sold the clock, and that's it. There's nobody that sits there, right? The clockmaker has nothing to do with the clock after it's built. Is that what it is? Is that what God, who God is? So that's Kel Shakai. That's what the world looks at God as. God, yeah, there's a lot of people that believe that God created the universe. But after he created the universe, he went back up to his throne and said, like, die. I'm not interested in this world anymore. You do your thing, I do my thing. So God is saying, or Moshe is saying, what am I supposed to tell them? Because if their name that they're going to hear you as is Shakai, then why do you care what's happening to them in Egypt? So God says it's true. So I'll tell you what the name is. Eheyeh asher eheyeh. So take a look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? Eheyeh imam b'tzarazot asher yeh imam v'shibud shar malchiyot. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people, I'm with them. As I will be with them, in all the future suffering. Amar lefanav, Moshe says, Ribono shel olam, mani maskir lam tzara acheret, dayam b'tzara zu, right? Daya tzara b'shaita. That's that famous, the idea is that you only have to know about the suffering in this time. To tell the Jewish people as they're about to go free from this suffering, don't worry about it. I'm going to be with you in your next suffering. They don't want to hear the next suffering. They want to hear that what? That God is with them. That's more than enough. So yafa amarta kotomar. And therefore, that's why I said actually, right? What God is saying, ki'ilu, is Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right. Just tell them, hey, yeah, Imam Bitzarazot. I'm with them in this pain. And if they ask, how do I know that I'm with them in this pain? How did I come to you? I came to you from the sneh, the thorn bush. Says Rabbi Riskin, Moshe is told that Hashem is Eyeh. The idea is that God is always there for us. He's more than a creator that left the world behind. Hashem actually cares about us. And how do you see that? So beautifully, Rabbi Riskin ties it into the very first mitzvah the Jewish people get. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei HaShanah. That this month is for you, the first month of the year. Our first mitzvah is the idea of Kiddush HaChodesh, that we control time. And not only do we control time, but we are bound by the lunar calendar. Why the lunar calendar? Because the sun pretty much every day, especially in the Middle East, right? Not as much in other parts of the world, but Egypt even more so than Israel. The sun is always there. It never rains. And so therefore, if the sun is there and it's always there, so that's all powerful. But the Jewish people and their relationship with God is really more characterized by the moon. The moon is there, then it's not there. It waxes, it wanes. We have a full moon where we see its beauty. We have the sliver of a moon where we can barely see it. That is really the nature of our relationship as the Jewish people with the world. Sometimes we're a full moon. Sometimes we're a sliver of a moon. Sometimes we disappear. But Hashem is always there with us. Eyeh asher eheyeh. Okay, so that's the second level of God. But there is a third level of God. And that's the idea of Va'ira. Ani Hashem, I am Yud Kei Vav Kei. We don't pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei as a word, but there are people, right? Sometimes you see this with little kids. I remember teaching third grade for many years, and you'd ask a kid to read a pasuk, and every once in a while you'd get up to this word, and the kid would start yeah ha, right? So we don't pronounce it that way. We pronounce it Ado, and then Noi, of course, which is the idea that Hashem is Adon Kol HaOlam. But Yud Kei Vav Kei, literally, Rabbi Riskin says, means He will bring about. The highest level of God is Shem Havaya. What is it? It's an optimistic term that He will bring about. What will He bring about? He'll bring out the Geula. But Rabbi Riskin says something really, really beautiful. He says that when will God bring out the Geula? God says to him, I want you to know I am Hashem. How is it going to happen? It's not as much that it's going to be you that's going to, that me that's going to bring the geula, but it's you that needs to do things to get there. So what does it have to be in Egypt? In Egypt, it's a hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the mako, famous question, why do we have 10 mako? Why can't we have one? So most answers are because Paro had to learn about God. But the truth is, that the Jewish people had to learn about God. Yes, they probably shared stories with their kids throughout the Shibud of Kel Shakai. There was this God who made a promise to the Jewish people or to the Avos. But what was it? Sharif Tachti v'lo Kiyamti. God's promises were those of promises, but they weren't fulfilled. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, Eyeh, God is with you, right? God feels your pain. But now for the very first time, it's Ani Hashem. God is saying that I care about you and He will bring it about. But He'll only bring it about when you're ready for it. So you have to do your part. Learn and acknowledge, recognize the hand of God. Recognize that God is always there and God is ready to redeem you. I think that the message of God in the beginning of Va'era is a message not only for the first Geula, but it's symbolic of all future Geulot. God will make it happen, but first we have to show that we want it. And that's, I think, the hardest part is, yes, I think we all recognize that we would like redemption to come to the world. But God says that it's important for us to dig a little bit deeper. And I think that that's our obligation, is to figure out what exactly that means. And I'm not even going to pretend I know the answer to that. But what is it that God wants us to do in order to bring Geula? So certainly we have to figure out how we can make the world a better place, make ourselves better, to bring the Geula one step closer. Have a wonderful Shabbos.